Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And on this week's episode of Screen Verdicts, we're going to be reviewing a show that's very dear to my heart, Matt. Matt, a show that we've talked about for years and years, and now we're going to talk about on the podcast. What are we doing today?
We're going to talk about the fifth season of Arrested Development. I think a show that I think both of us have claimed at various points is our favorite sitcom of all time. Is that true?
Yeah, so the original series aired, and you'll probably correct me here on the exact years. What was it, around 03 through 05,
yeah,
04 through 06?
I would have said 03.
And that was kind of considered to be the show until it was brought back, I believe, in 2013. So up until 2013, there were three series of Arrested Development, always rumor of perhaps a movie, but that was the show. And I would go around telling people my favorite show of all time is Arrested Development, or at least favorite comedy show.
Yeah, I'd go around, my favorite comedy show is Arrested Development. That's the funniest show I've ever seen.
Yeah, the one thing we could agree on. Otherwise, it was I was The Wire, you were The West Wing, knives at each other's throats, but Arrested Development was the thing that brought us together.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was. And like, we'd seen Seinfeld, we'd seen other shows, we'd seen Friends.
But yeah, people would say, oh, Arrested Development is your favorite show, but have you seen The Big Bang Theory?
Didn't exist then. This was in a pre-Big Bang world.
So then season four came around, and I had a little bit mixed opinions, but overall I enjoyed it. I thought perhaps a little bit convoluted, took a bit to get into it, but overall I thought it was clever and had some really funny moments, and it wasn't quite on the level of the original seasons, but still really funny and could hold its own against, you know, some of the best comedy shows of that year.
Incredibly ambitious. Diving, how, like, different dives are different degrees of difficulty. like, the degree of difficulty they attempted in season four of the show was really something you haven't seen on TV before, where they've got, like, different characters and different episodes and the sort of non-linear storytelling, and they've got to do callbacks and they don't pay off jokes for sometimes like three or four episodes and yada, yada, yada. I thought they executed it fairly well. So I gave them a lot of props for that fourth season.
It was the triple axle of sitcom structures. It was the triple axle of comedy shows.
And it was, but I agree with you, it wasn't as good as the first three, and a few things didn't land in it. But great, really funny and great season two. Did you see the recut? Because people found it very confusing. It didn't quite get the reviews and stuff of the first three seasons. And people thought it's because the structure was very non-linear. So then Netflix, before the fifth season, re-edited it to be more linear. Did you see that?
I did watch the remix, the redux, the recut, the re-edit, whatever it was called. And I thought it helped. I thought it made the show feel a bit more like the original series in terms of the structure, the flow, and it didn't make it as good as the original series, but I'd probably give it an extra, you know, half a mark. It bumped it up a little bit for me. I felt like they relied a bit too much on the narration, which is super weird because you'd watch an episode and then at the start of the next one, it'd spend a minute or so of Ron Howard explaining what you just watched. Like, this is Netflix. We're binge watching this. What do you think?
Yeah.
You don't need... This isn't 2003. I'm not waiting a week for each episode. Does Netflix not understand how its own platform works? I thought that was a little bit confusing. But otherwise, I thought the recut was a success.
There was some, I'm not sure if the original, because I've seen the recut more recently than the original cut, but there were some episodes of this recut where it's 8 minutes of recap before you get to the new content.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the beginning of the remix, like I was going, oh, this is so much better. And then by the end, there was just a lot of recapping happening. And I thought, I think I prefer the original way of watching this, where it's just a character each episode. I don't know. So
either way, it got me excited for season five. I was back on that Arrested Development kick, and I was ready for some new material.
And they end season four in a very unsatisfying way. Regardless of what you thought of the season as a whole, it doesn't really end very well because apparently it's all meant to build up to a movie or something like that. So I was very excited that it was coming back because I wanted that resolution. It was not a satisfying way for one of the greatest shows of all time to end.
Yeah, the end of season three where they're off on the boat, kind of looping back to the first episode of season one. One of the great, all-time great show finales, in my opinion. And then the end of season four with George Michael punching Michael. One of the least satisfying show finales of all time. So, yeah, definitely. Even though I enjoyed most of the season, couldn't end like that. Definitely needed another season.
So, season five, they split up into two. They do this, Netflix does this sometimes. They do, we're going to release half of the season now, or at least the second half of the season in 6 months' time, because I think they wanted to reach the Emmy eligibility window for 2 years.
Yeah.
They dropped these like first eight episodes of the show like pretty much the day before Emmy eligibility closed for the year. It didn't really, at the end of the day, all the sneaky Netflix moves didn't matter. It got I don't think it got any nominations. Maybe it got one in the technical categories though, but anyway, regardless, so, yeah, Jonathan, they released the first half of the season last year. They just in the last sort of, I think, month released the second half of season five. What do you think of the first half? I know you've got strong opinions. You've actually already shared some of them with me, which is a rarity for stuff we talk about on the podcast.
Yeah, so the show kicks off, I believe, with a scene with Michael and Buster up in the attic, and Buster has a scuba diving outfit on, I believe. And I can't remember any of the specific jokes, but I feel like in that one scene alone, there were more misses than in the entire first three seasons of the show. And that did not give me much hope for the rest of the season. I was like, I was so pumped. I was so excited. And I was just like, cringe, cringe, cringe off the bat. All right, first episode, that's a strikeout. Oof, we're off to a rough start. The rest of the season, it was a year or so ago since I watched it now, but we follow Lucille going missing. There's like a beach place that they're not supposed to tell Michael about that he finds.
Oh, by the way, sorry for interrupting you, Jonathan. I'm very sorry. We should give a spoiler alert for season five of Arrested Development.
Yeah, we'll probably do part two spoilers as well. I don't think any non-Arrested Development fans are listening to this at this point, right?
Some people like just hearing us talk about stuff. I guess if that's the case, they just are going to watch the show anyway.
You've had your chance. So anyway, we'll do a quick spoiler alert. Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! Woo, 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 woo. AD spoilers.
We're gonna talk about stuff that happens in season five of Arrested. Sorry, John.
So, I don't think I ever really bought into the plot. I was kind of like, I don't know, there seems to be one thing that we're never really addressing, we're never really making inroads into finding an answer to. There isn't lots of kind of intricate weaving of character arcs like they did in the original series. And I felt like they explained most of it with exposition. Like, anytime Lucille was on the screen, I felt like she was doing so much heavy lifting. I felt so bad for Jessica Walters. It's kind of like, surely, like, she's like, ugh, this is not the writing of old. So I felt it was really heavy-handed. I thought there were not very many good jokes, wasn't invested in the plot, and I can't really think of too many redeeming features other than the odd laugh. I thought Job at the closet conversion therapy place, which was literally for like a home decor converting your closet. But of course all the people that are into that, well, stereotypically, are gay people. I thought his kind of scenes with those characters were quite entertaining, one of the highlights of the season. But yeah, overall, just a real gut punch. Didn't live up to any of my expectations.
There were some good ideas there. I think the idea that I can't remember, to help get positive attention for the Bloofs, they decided to give themselves a Family of the Year award. I think that's a good concept that was executed at times well, at times not as well. Portia de Rossi didn't want to be in this season of the show because I think she's retired from acting or something. I don't think it was just, I don't want to work with you guys. I think it was, I'm sort of finished up with my acting career. And they convinced her, but I think it meant like a lot of her scenes had to be done with green screen, not with the other cast members and things. And I think that made it seem a bit more artificial. And
those were terrible for a show that it, at this level, to have such an amateurish look is a total disaster. And I'm not sure who to blame, because Portia de Rossi said, no, I'm not going to be in it. And then Mitch Hurwitz wrote her into the show. Should he have done that? Probably not. But at the same time, why is Portia de Rossi turning it down? There are millions of people that love this show so passionately, just like a real fan favorite, kind of cult hit, but like bigger than like a cult hit. And they have every single other person on board except for you. And you're retired from acting. Okay. But you can't spare like 3 days to go film? You're a millionaire married to a billionaire. You could free up your calendar, all right? I don't buy it.
She probably could have said, look, I don't want to be in all the episodes or so. But anyway, what should I say? It wasn't great. Like, I watched it with our friend Bass. I went around to his place and watched it with Bass. I think over 2 days we got through the season. And we were very underwhelmed with the first couple of episodes and then started laughing at it a bit more towards the end of the 8. We're like, oh, it's getting a bit better. Things are starting to come together a little bit better. There's a few good moments. The closet conversion thing. I think there's something cool. I think Barry Zukercorn I was finding more funny towards the end of the season. I always get a kick out of Henry Winkler in that role. So I was still enjoying it. And I think if this was just... it's hard when it's your favorite comedy of all time to then see it a shadow of its former self.
Whenever I saw Barry Zukercorn, I thought, well, when I saw him in Barry, the actual show, HBO show Barry, I thought, oh, this is just like a poor man's Arrested Development. And then I watched season 5 of Arrested Development and I was like, oh, this is just a poor man's Barry.
That's funny. Bass made a really good point actually when we were watching it. And our favorite
character on the show.
What, sorry?
A rarity?
Yeah, for sure. Our favorite character on the show is Job. He's just so funny. He's like, probably if I was to list my, you know, top 6 Arrested Development moments, he'd be in like a big part of 4 of them. Yeah. And like he made a really good point. If Job was so funny because of his like how overconfident he was and like how he just, whether it's putting on a magic show or running a company, he was completely incompetent but totally overconfident. And just the confidence he would bring to something he was completely out of his depth was where the humor came from. And this season, in season five, they completely take away all of Job's confidence.
Yeah, that hubris was comedic, whereas season five Job was kind of just pathetic.
Yeah. And I think the whole relationship with Tony Wonder I found, like, confusing. I don't know how that fit with, you know, the character that really Job was for the first two or three seasons of the show. I was sort of, as funny as the closet conversion thing happened, I feel like Joe's sexuality was maybe a interesting territory for the show to delve into.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of jokes that Job was saying felt like old Tobias jokes.
Yeah.
I was like, we've done this before. This doesn't feel like Job.
Mm. Yeah. So I think that was a big way. Anyway, it was underwhelming. So how did you feel about when... let's just quickly cover. So the big things that happened in that first half of the season is Lucille Lucero, played by
Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli has gone missing or been murdered, and Buster is the prime suspect. He gets arrested. Job is having a crisis of identity, having accidentally slept with Tony Wonder. He has now fallen in love with Tony Wonder, played by Ben Stiller. Tobias and Lindsay have separated. Lindsay is running for office for the county mayor or council or Congress something. Anyway, she's running for some political office. And is that pretty much it? And Tobias is now trying to act as people in the family, right? Like he's going to take the role of Michael and the role of Lindsay for various events. And he hires two actors to play his wife and son by the end of it.
And George Michael is running a fake business, fake block, and maybe is at an old person's home.
Yeah, I think that sort of was quite interesting that she's gone into the old person's home. She's dressing up as an old person and living that second life.
Yes, it was amusing. I didn't really see the point of it, but I enjoyed the scenes in and of themselves.
Yeah.
So I guess at the end of it, there's an escape because Buster's in jail is that right? He's suspected of killing
Liza Minnelli, killing Lucille too.
And then he's about to be released, but he doesn't know that. And Oscar helps him escape. Is that the final episode of season five, part one?
Yeah, that's the first half of the. Yeah, so he's helped escape by Oscar.
Okay. Do we want to do? Do you have any more thoughts on season five, part one? Do we want to do a rating before going into season five, part one? Two? Or are we giving it all together?
Oh. How about we? Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
I was going to do them separately, but I don't mind if you want to group
them
together.
We'll do them separately. I give this a 6.5 out of 10.
I give it a 6 out of 10. And I've been pretty harsh on it. You might have expected a lower number. There were some funny moments, and it's not a bad show. But when you compare it to my standard of it being the best comedy show of all time, a 6 out of 10 is soul-crushingly bad.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be redeemed in season five, part two. The stakes are high.
Were you excited for season five, part two? Like, to be honest, I was excited that that wasn't the end of it, what we had seen. But it sort of, I wasn't as I was not like organizing a day with Bass to go around to his place and watch the new episodes.
Watching Arrested Development Season 5 Part 2 felt to me like being at the casino when I'm down money. I kind of need this. I need to make this bet in order to get my money back. But I'm also scared that I'm going to lose even more money.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a very good analogy. should I just ask you what you think? Should we talk about a few of the storylines?
Yeah. So let's see. What are some of the main things that happen?
I guess the overriding storyline is probably like Buster in jail. Maybe not overriding, but that's like, oh yeah, that's one. Just go with like, so there's the Buster in jail. There's a trial. Buster, it's all blurring in my head. Buster has escaped, and it turns out he's free to go, but then some new evidence comes out and he gets arrested again.
Yes, so the gay mafia
There's a lot going on in this season of Arrested Development.
Yeah, basically they have an issue with Job's persona, and so in return for not killing him, they make him dispose of a body, which he gets Buster to help with. So he gets caught on camera disposing of a body, which he doesn't know is a body, for some reason, into the ocean, which obviously makes it look like, oh, here is Buster disposing of Lucille's body. So that is not good for Buster.
Not at all.
And they end up having a trial in which, they go to like some celebrity group of lawyers, the guilty guys, but they can only represent you if you're guilty. And so then Lucille tries to get the guy, the beach bum guy, who she's been spending time with that George Sr. is jealous of, to represent him, but he's just like a total mess. One of the kind of the lower points of the season, any scene with that guy, to be honest. I don't know. What did you think of him?
I sort of like what they were going for. I think he was better in the court than he was just as the beach bum, to be honest. Yeah. But he was not as funny a lawyer as Barry Zuckerkorn or Bob Loblaw. So it was sort of the whole time when he was doing court stuff, I was like, it's a shame, like, where you don't have Barry or Bob Loblaw representing them. Or even that Wayne Jarvis guy, like, get him back. I think he can be quite funny. Like, and you could bring him back as a bit of a washed-up dude as well. I actually did like a lot of the court stuff.
I liked some of the courtroom scenes too.
Yeah.
I felt like Job up there, like, thinking that he's nailing it and is just totally throwing Buster under the bus was quite funny. That kind of reminded me of old Job.
I can't remember the line totally, but he's walking past Michael and he's like, you just missed me.
Yeah. Killing it up there.
Yeah, killing it up there. Yes, we've been killing it. They did in the second half of the season bring back Job's hubris.
Yeah. Yeah, there was an episode, maybe like three episodes in, that I really enjoyed where he was the president of the company, and he was talking to that Indian guy, and the Indian guy was trying to like tell him what to do and kind of like teach him about kind of like politically correct remarks or whatever, and it just like Job just, it went totally over his head, and just like how confidently he, like, he doubled down on like the wrong like responses to everything that guy said. I thought it was quite funny. And that was like one of the first good episodes of the season where I was like, all right, it's making a bit of a comeback.
I also love the where Job announces himself as the president and like, did somebody say there was a new president of the company? Like, like this is like clearly not catchy line. He's sort of repeating like it was like this perfect cue he'd been waiting for. And then like he goes, and now he's my right hand man, which I thought was just a great line because Buster only has one hand.
Yeah.
And then like Buster then like gets his hand stuck in the L. Anyway, so that I thought was a really funny scene. That reminded me of the old days.
We'll talk about some of the other character storylines as well. But just one other funny thing from the courtroom was when Lucille yells mistrial and Buster goes, "Yes, I missed your trial."
Yeah,
which he's always resented him for.
I love when in the final episode how Buster has a mistrial sash on.
Yes, that was great.
Oh, that was really good.
So let me see. So George and Lucille kind of team up because they've gotten themselves into some trouble with some Chinese lenders. And there's some kind of funny things about like the worst thing that like you could make the Chinese investor is mildly displeased. And all the little funny phrases they described, they were like, oh, no, these are going to have deadly ramifications, like, for all these responses. And there was a good, I don't know. So, yeah, they end up sending, like, a foot as, like, a message it totally goes over Job's head, which is another funny Job scene. And like Job at fake block, I thought worked quite well because things keep on getting like worse and worse for George Michael. They think they found a way out of it, but then Michael finds the hidden money and uses it to buy fake block. I thought that kind of like series of like unfortunate events was kind of classic Arrested Development and just kind of like the oh brother moments for George Michael were quite funny this season.
Yeah, no, that was really, I thought that worked quite well. And I love Job. I thought with the Job stuff, I thought the one thing that I didn't think completely was the gay mafia stuff. I didn't quite get what they were trying to do there.
I guess it was just a way to sort of tie things back into Lucille because the head gay mafia guy, was he her brother? Oh, he's connected to her somehow.
Yeah, it's Lucille Tu's brother.
And I don't know. So there was a reason for him to dispose the body. It sort of made sense because of how like public Job's always made everything. Like it's not just... he's battling with these things internally. It's like, I'm going on the Christian talk show or I'm doing the gay parade. It's like, so I guess it sort of made sense that they were concerned about like the public persona or whatever. But yeah, it was like a little bit separate from everything else that was going on.
I just feel like maybe did it, and I don't think this was the intent, and I don't know, maybe I'm being a bit like overly woke or something, but like, is it turning the joke rather than on Job to the community? But I guess the gay mafia weren't reflective of the whole gay community.
No, I mean, perhaps it's not for two straight white dudes to say, but my perspective on it was, he was such Lucille's brother was just such an over the top character. You know, he was the guy that was helped producing the play in the rehab with Tobias and Maria Bamford's character, I think in season 4. Like he's just kind of like a goofy character. And I felt like it was more about him than, the real gay community or anything like that. But you know, fair question.
Yes. What else happened? What else was going on?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if we missed anything. I think those are the main.
We haven't talked at all about the war.
Yeah, so
it's a big part of this season.
So one of the things that so the Chinese investors want the wall.
So it's sort of just to take it back a bit. I guess in season four, they talk about building a wall between Mexico and the US.
This is 2013.
Yes, and I think now, to be fair, like, the Bush administration built fencing and walls along that border. They may have even been continued under Obama. I haven't really followed the news that on issues like that. Like, so to be fair, it wasn't like not a political issue at all, this idea of borders between and building walls and things like that. And I think even like, they had, wasn't like they called it the Bush Wall or a row of bush on the wall or something in season four. So, like, it's not like it was completely not trying to be political when it first brought up, but I feel like in between these two seasons, they thought, we've hit the gold mine. We brought up this wall thing, and it's now become one of the big political topics. Like, Trump has really taken this wall idea by the horns and run with it, and they thought, this is great fodder for comedy for us because we can now play off that. And there's even a line in the first half of the season where Lucille Bluth's like, he got that idea from me or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like some of the jokes from the original series were political, but perhaps it felt... I don't know, perhaps a little sharper. I mean, some things are kind of just a bit more silly. It's like, I may have committed some light treason. Like, that's just funny, you know, building model homes for Saddam Hussein. Whereas building a wall, which is sort of a real current political conversation, it kind of felt less comedic or just kind of like, that seems like an area that's kind of less ripe for comedy because it's sort of too loaded. And I know they couldn't ignore it because they kind of pitched this kind of thing, this in 2013, and now it's a reality in 2018, 2019. But for whatever reason, I just didn't find that as funny. And I don't think they wasted too much time, too many jokes on that. It just wasn't a strong, one of the stronger parts of this season. Although there was one good political joke in it where I think George refers to people as libtards, and when asked what that is, he says liberal retardation.
Yeah.
Like, it was obviously not an appropriate joke, but it's just like, just the fact that he thought that's a sufficient response, like, oh, this is what it means. Like, I'm giving a good answer to this question.
Yeah.
Just that misguidedness was what I found funny about it.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think, I didn't mind. I thought it was a good issue, to be honest, for the show to tackle. I think particularly in season three of Arrested Development, they really, you know, used the Iraq war as a lot of fodder.
Mission accomplished.
I feel like,
Mission accomplished.
They go to Iraq. They find fake weapons of mass destruction. Joe does a burning bush protest, a burning bush magic trick, trying to evoke Moses, but the crowd thinks it's a burning
an effigy.
George. Like, yeah. I don't think the Iraq war is necessarily a less sensitive issue than border war. But I think it seemed a bit forced at the beginning in the first half of the season. Like, they seemed like they were leaning into it they were a bit too proud of themselves for having stumbled upon this. I think in the second half of the season, it worked a bit better. I think they've got the big, like, in the final episode, the big wall unveiling thing, which I think is quite funny. And, like, I'm not sure when they filmed this, but I think it was just so funny because you see, like, Donald Trump unveil these, like, they have these wall samples that are, like, I love them. Like, they've made this little bit of wall that isn't, like, they're talking about, oh, it's just a sample, like, it's a section and things like that, and trying to build up this big wall idea that's really not much at all. And I thought that was really funny. And then, like, Job's climbing up it with a ladder, and his dad's going, like, boy, it's really, we didn't think through, you could just climb over it with a ladder. And then Job calls them, like, shithole countries at some point as well, that I just thought was really – so I think, like, it wasn't done too well at the first half of the season, but the second half, they find a more natural way and a more physically funny way to deal with it.
Yeah, so let's cut to the final scene. I thought that Job with Buster as his assistant at the unveiling was really, really great. The mistrial sash. I thought the misdirection with George Michael and Michael fighting.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of, you know, tying back into the end of season four, and then kind of misleading the Chinese investors to get the company off their hands, I thought was quite clever. Lindsay's character has not been in the whole season. They get her in the final episode. It wouldn't have felt like an Arrested Development final without her. So even though it wasn't the funniest scene, I did really enjoy it. And,
yeah, I liked it.
You know, it kind of felt, this to me felt like a classic Arrested Development episode. Like, what was the one with the mole and the Godzilla?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of...
Was that the Mr. F, maybe, that episode?
Yeah, it might have been a Mr. F episode. This time, I guess things go better for them because the plan works out. But just kind of, you know, all these things coming together in a ridiculous plan. It was clever, it was funny, and it felt like a vintage Arrested Development episode.
The flashback where Michael remembers what happened with Lucille Estero, and he did his chicken dance. We finally saw Michael's chicken dance, and that's what causes him to fall down the stairs. I thought was also a funny little twist.
And then we are left with, let's see, we think that Job is stuck in the wall, that the trick has gone wrong, but Job pops out, tricks at success, everything's gone to plan. But then there is somebody actually in the wall.
Yeah.
They cut open the wall. They find a body in the wall. And it is not explicitly said, and feel free to pose a different theory, but I think it is all but definitely Lucille too.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. That's what I thought.
And that Buster has murdered her.
Yeah, I didn't get this. Did I miss something?
So the
because Buster then just, it's not even left to have it. Buster goes, yeah, I did it.
Yeah, I mean, to me it was just obvious, and then some people were debating whether it was or not. It seems like everyone thinks it is online, but, you know, because he says something about, doesn't she look like Judy Garland? And Liza Minnelli is Judy Garland's daughter. And then he says something like, she looks so happy, doesn't she remind you of Mum? Which is what I think he said the first time he has feelings for Lucille too, in one of the first, I think probably season one. So,
and there's like, let's say it's her. Let's just assume, we think it's her. That's what we're going to be operating under. And then there's like these comments about her smile. I didn't quite get it. Like, so there's like, oh, I've never seen someone smile like that before.
Yeah, is that a song? That might be a Judy Garland song or something.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Or like maybe Liza Minnelli. I haven't seen Cabaret, but anyway.
So I had two issues with this.
Yeah, I have one or two as well. Let's hear yours.
The first, I don't like Buster being a murderer. I like Buster. I don't think, you know, I think he might do some crazy things for Lucille, because he does have a bizarre relationship with his mom, and he's a little bit, just kind of an oddball character. But would he murder someone? I mean, you know, when he joined the army and he thought he was playing video games, but he was actually shooting people with drones. When he found out that it was actually real, like, he was horrified. I think he faints or something. Like, I don't think he has like a murderer's, you know, makeup inside him. So for him to murder Lucille is not only just not funny, it also just seems out of character to me. Like, do you think Buster would have done this? What was the reasoning?
Well, we don't know. Like, that's my issue with it. Like, I don't have, maybe he accidentally killed her. Like, but we don't really have the story or the scene to show us what happened.
Yeah.
That was my issue. It was like, they're just throwing something at us at the end without giving us the context. Like, you know, like, even in those, like, in a procedural detective thing, you've got the detective, this is how it really happened. And we didn't get the how it really happened. You just got by the way, twist. She's being killed by Buster.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into my second issue with it. If Buster did kill her, how did her body end up in the wall? They've just built this wall, and I don't know the exact timeline within the show, but Lucille's been missing for at least a month, 2 months? Like a long time. Where has Buster kept the body? How did he get it in the wall? Why did he put it in the wall?
Well, I think it was part of the magic trick. They were meant to put a mannequin in the wall, right? Buster's meant to put a mannequin in the wall so that when they, he got stuck in the wall, he's dead, and then the unveiling. So I think, like, Buster did look a bit weird when he was doing the magic trick stuff. Like, it looked like something was up to me. And I go, what's Buster going to do? Is he going to try to, like, was he annoyed at Job for throwing him under the bus? Is he going to ruin the magic trick for Job? Like, my head was thinking that. And then I guess in hindsight, it's no, he was hiding the murder body, the cadaver.
He's
I don't know how he kept the body for months and how he got it there or any of that sort of stuff. But I think he was meant to put a mannequin in the wall as part of the trick, and he thought that was his opportunity to hide Lucille.
Didn't make sense, wasn't funny.
Yeah, and I think, I was sort of expecting, it's been a bit of a season-long mystery, what happened to Lucille, who killed her, who kidnapped her, what happened. And I was sort of, I thought they'd planted the seed that it was Sitwell. Like, maybe found the thing in his room where he had crossed out old ladies on the thing and circled. And I thought, and look, maybe that would have been a bit obvious after that clue, but, you know, it's not a detective show. We don't need, super twisty. Like, I thought that would have been quite a satisfying ending, that the Sitwells killed off Lucille too. I think that would have been a good end to it. It ends with Stan Sitwell being arrested.
Yeah, that wasn't explained. He doesn't really have a resolution to his storyline with maybe after she keeps knocking him out. For a writer or group of writers, I don't know how many people are from the original team, but at least Hurwitz, and I'm sure there's more. Yeah. I don't know how people that are just clearly so clever and so funny, because they have delivered just again and again, could think that that would be a funny or satisfying ending to the show. Like, those two are completely irreconcilable to me.
It was a lot of time was spent on this trial and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And look, they've got these scenes of, the kids growing up, and I was watching these going, these are the worst scenes of the series. I don't get why they've gotten in Colby Smulders and stuff to play them.
The flashback stuff were terrible.
I loved how they turned that into, that's actually a TV movie that's been made about them. Like, that, I still think time was wasted on it, but I was at least like, oh, good, it's not just that, it gave a context to why those scenes were bad.
Yeah, and I don't think any of them felt like the characters, except for the kid that played Job. I thought he was kind of funny. But the others didn't really feel like any of the actual characters to me.
Yeah, which is fine because it's some stupid TV miniseries thing. Mm-hmm. Like, so that they explained it well enough there. But there's been so much time on stuff like that to then rush the ending seemed a bit weird. Like, it's not like they were called and said, hey, look, you've got one more episode. We're cancelling the show in a week. You've got one more episode. You've got to wrap up all these storylines. Like, they wrote 16 episodes, and then it sort of, like, was weird how they big reveal Buster's the murderer, and it was rushed. And I don't know if it's because they thought, well, we're getting another season. People love Arrested. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, speaking of rushed, I do need to go quite soon. Okay, so let's do we think this is the end? And then let's give a rating for season 5, part 2.
Firstly, do we think it's the end?
Yes.
I do. I think very likely. I would actually like to see it come back, even if it was just a Netflix film or something, just to have a real life. I'm still at that poker table, table.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's just put a little bit more in there. Let's try to get a bit of a better ending out of it. But I think the fact that it's not getting award nominations anymore, Arrested Development, the critic response to this was fairly cool. It doesn't seem to have much social media. Like, no one's been talking about this season in the way that they did of old. I don't think anyone's clamoring for it, so I think it's unlike, and I think to just the thing that's probably going to seal it is, I'm not sure if you were following Jonathan, there was some controversy surrounding Jeffrey Tambor. He got fired from Transparent because of assault allegations. There was then a very uncomfortable interview with the cast in New York Times because apparently he had been verbally abusive toward Jessica Walters on one case on a scene, and that wasn't dealt with well by the male cast members in that interview. It was what Jessica Walter has said recently. She'd be happy to go back and do another season. So it's like, I think it's unlikely for all those factors.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. Was not satisfying. I've lost more money, but there's only one way to get it back. It wasn't great. People aren't watching it. There was controversies. I think, you know, the thing that the allegations on Transparent are much worse than what happened on Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, just, you know, Walters forgiving him and not like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they could get the one-off incident. Yeah, I think they could get the cast back together, but just in general, the controversy doesn't help. And this felt like an ending to me. Like, season 4 hated the ending, but it felt like it was leading to a movie or to another season. This, although I didn't like it, it felt like a series final. Maybe they left things open enough for there to be more, but if there isn't, you know, from a writing point of view, it felt like they wrote an ending to the show.
It's a better ending than the season 4 ending. I think it is.
I don't know.
You disagree. So, look, I would have liked a bit more development with George.
I really do have to. Sorry to rush you, Matt, but I really do have to go.
Okay.
Do you have any other final thoughts on that, or do you want to just get to the rating?
Well, let's get to the rating. I would have liked more out of the George Mabee relationship. And just that to be more developed and more closed out in terms of where they end up together. Though they hook up at the end, don't they? Maybe not. Anyway, in case I'm wrong, let's leave that aside. I actually was getting a kick out of the second half of this season. I was very underwhelmed by the first half. In the second half, there were hits and there were misses for sure. It definitely wasn't as strong as the first 4 seasons. But you know what? There was something really nostalgic and lovely about these last 8 episodes. And I think it's sort of, there were more hits than misses. It sort of worked. And I sort of saw the greatness at times shine through. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. I somewhat agree. I think in general, I found this season to be funnier. There are a couple of good episodes. I was probably, you know, not classic Arrested Development, but overall, I was probably thinking about a 7 out of 10. And then I thought the final episode was great. Probably the best of any episodes of season 5, 1, or 2. A really kind of just great culmination of events, yeah. Funny moments at the wall. And I'm thinking, oh, this was fantastic. I'd be prepared to bump this up to an 8. Not a bad way to go out. And then the Buster ending I thought was colossally bad. I just was numb afterwards. I was just so disappointed. And, you know, it might have only been a 30-second scene, but I think I got to take a full two marks off. So bring it back down to the same as Season 5, Part 1, which wasn't great. Whoa. But didn't leave quite such a bad taste in my mouth. I'm going to give Season 5, Part 2 also a 6 out of 10.
Oh, my gosh. What I will say is I think with the binge era, Arrested Development surprisingly didn't transition well enough. I actually think there's something really lovely about those first 3 seasons, that there's a standalone quality to the episodes and they can just enjoy the jokes more rather than feeling like they have to tie everything into something. And I think that would maybe have been a detriment in the Netflix era, even though as a network show it was quite serialized.
Yeah, for sure. Mm.
Okay, you got to head off. You got an exciting event or Hollywood thing over in LA.
Yeah, just hanging out with Will Smith.
Oh gosh!
No, just this is my last sketch class of my advanced sketch course at UCB.
Oh, over at the UCB,
where Matt and I enjoyed improv together. So
yeah,
that should be fun. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. We got plenty of shows to come up. We still got to catch up on our SVs as well. And if there are any movie shows you want to hear about, let us know. Facebook.com/ScreenVerdictPodcast.
I'm going to try, Jonathan, to get the list of people that we thought might die in Game of Thrones up on Facebook this week, because
it needs to be this week. There's going to be episode 3 is going to be a biggie.
Feel like this week we could be collecting. It'll be an update on that.
Yeah, get your bets in now. The the bookie closes soon.
Okay, all right,
guys. Well, thanks for listening.
See you, John.
I'll see you next week. Bye.